I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Happy feast day of St. Juan Diego. St. Juan Diego, pray for us. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. Here's where we engage the culture of death with prayer, fasting, truth, and full contact Catholicism. I am on duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm on duty, Jesse Romero. Terry Barber here, and I'm excited about the show because you know what I'm excited about, Jesse? Introducing people to the person of Jesus Christ and his church. And it doesn't get any better. God has allowed us to use this. And I want to thank our listeners for letting us start Virgin Most Powerful. It's almost 3 years. In a couple more weeks, Jesse, we're going to have an anniversary of 3 years of Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I want to welcome we just got another four stations, Jess. You didn't even know this. I worked with Red Sea Catholic Radio out in Texas. As a matter of fact, we're going to be broadcasting in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas now, because they're picking our shows up. Four new stations, and that's because people like straight talk Catholicism. Jess, the guy, I talked to him for quite some time, and he says, you know what? I used to listen to you and Jesse for years, and now you got Bishop Strickland on. I said, your stuff is great. We'd like to pick it up. I said, okay, here's how it works. So if you know of any other radio stations who want to pick up our programming, it's absolutely free. But, you know, Jess, today we're going to be talking about something that Paul Harvey did back in 1965. We haven't played it for a while. It's called If I Were the Devil, and it's so appropriate for our culture right now. We'll play that. Also, I just want to give a shout-out. The faithful patriarchs or patriotic people are going to plan a Jericho march on our nation's capital to pray against the election fraud. That's December 12th. So I want to encourage everybody, if you can get to Washington, D.C., go for it, because I want to talk just a little bit about why they're doing this. Also, Jesse, our main comment for today is this, the seven reasons why Equality Act is anything but that. And we can expect this from the Biden-Harris administration, if in fact it gets in. Not only that, Jesse, we can expect persecution to the Hill if that administration gets in, just by the people they're picking for, you know, key spots.
By that law, by that topic that we're going to talk about, that's the way
that's how
the
they
persecution
do it.
Of the church is going, because they're going to call homosexuality and LGBT
that's
civil
right.
rights.
Yep.
That's how they're going to go after us.
And then the Bible becomes racist. Yep, that's how it works.
Oh,
Jeff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but before we do any of that, and I want to mention one more thing. It was 41 years ago, Jesse, today, in the morning of Sunday, it was in New York City, Archbishop Sheen was called home. And I just want to remind everybody, last week I gave a plug, Jesse, about, you know, it's a year later after his beatification date was set, and then they said there's going to be a delay and we'll get this thing done. Well, there's been no movement on it. And as a layperson who loves Fulton Sheen, I'd like to say, wait a minute, let's move, let's get transparency, Holy Father, in the Holy See. We've got a great man to beatify. The church needs Bishop Sheen's model. And I have to say, honestly, Jesse, and I'll just say it real quick again, I think there are a lot of people that are enemies inside the church who want nothing to do with Fulton Sheen. That's my take, Jess.
Without a doubt.
All right, well, let's
right on the head.
Let's get to the soul food, Jess. We always use the gospel of the day, and then I've got a quote from Fulton Sheen. Let's get that soul food out.
Matthew chapter 11, verses 28
to
30.
Yep.
This is, by the way, this is also kind of a good Catholic Protestant apologetics reading to thee. I'll tell you why, because Protestants will say that the reason that we shouldn't accept the seven disputed books that they call the Apocrypha, what we call the Deuterocanonical, they'll say, well, Jesus never quoted from them. You're going to see that today's entire quote is from the book of Sirach, no other book. And so the allegation that Jesus never quoted from those seven books is false.
Yep.
Let's read today's gospel, then I'll go into the apologetics portion of it. Jesus said to the crowds, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So what's going on here? Our Lord Jesus Christ is inviting the disciples to follow and to learn from him as the model of perfect obedience to God the Father. So that's the first thing that's happening there in verse 27. Now, Jesus Christ is called, he's called our wisdom and our justification in 1 Corinthians. But Jesus Christ in this gospel of today, what he's doing, he's hearkening back to Sirach chapter 50 in the Old Testament. I mean, 51. Because in Sirach 51, it says, wisdom calls, draw near to me. And we know that St. Paul calls Jesus our wisdom. So the book of Sirach is telling us to draw near to wisdom. Well, that's what today's gospel is telling us to do, to draw near to Jesus, because he's our wisdom.
Yep.
In Sirach 51, verse 23, it says, put your neck under the yoke. That's exactly where our Lord Jesus Christ is drawing from for today's gospel. And also, in Sirach 51, verse 26, our Lord says, the Bible says, and see with your eyes that I have labored little and found for myself much rest. That's in Sirach chapter 51, verse 26 and 27. So the book of Sirach chapter 51 parallels exactly what we see today in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, which shows that Jesus Christ did quote from those seven books that the Protestants dispute. And in fact, verse 29, where it says that you'll find rest in Jesus. What does that mean? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the ultimate rest is going to be in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem, the great wedding feast with the Lamb and Our Lady. That's the ultimate rest. But he also gives us in this life, he gives us spiritual rest when we're able to rest from our earthly labors every Sunday, and we're able to enter into the New Testament sacred family meal, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we get to do that, thanks be to God. Until we get to heaven, we get a little bit of heaven every single Sunday, Terry.
Absolutely. That's why it's just good time management to get as many Masses in as possible in this life, because that's going to be your greatest consolation at the time of your death, the Masses that you heard worthily. Hey, Jess, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Full sheen ahead. His voice was silenced 41 years ago when God called him home. But I'll tell you, Jess, just a quick note. When I went to his funeral 41 years ago, I'll never forget waiting in line to get into St. Patrick's Cathedral. I talked to hundreds of people who said it was Fulton Sheen that brought them back to the Catholic Church.
I continue hearing that to this day, Terry.
I know, Jesse. Yeah. That's why I'm such a big Full Sheen ahead guy, because I witnessed it. I saw Fulton Sheen's beauty there. And I even said they even interviewed me on national television at that funeral. They said, young man, where are you from? And I said, Los Angeles. And they said, wait a minute. They put a mic in front of me. He said, why are you here? I said, because we need to put Bishop Sheen back on radio and television. And that's what I've been doing. I've been promoting Fulton Sheen for 41 years. And I thank all of you, our listeners, who have been helping us get millions of recordings out through Lighthouse Catholic Media and St. Joseph Communications. But Jess, here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. It's appropriate for today because we're so mixed up about freedom. We have no idea what freedom is. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. Freedom does not mean the right to do whatever we please, but rather to do as we ought. The right to do whatever we please reduces freedom to a physical power and forgets that freedom is a moral power. Jess, this goes right into homosexuality, into all kinds of immoral actions, because people say, well, I think it's okay, so that makes it okay. I decide what is truth, not anybody else. And Bishop Sheen is saying, no. Freedom does not mean that you have a right to do whatever you please, but rather what you ought to be doing. And I just think that that's a strong message. And that's really, Jesse, the line that's being crossed today. We are playing God in our culture. We forgot about God, so we play it. That's the take I got on that reading, Jess.
That's right, Terry. Let me just mention one thing about St. Juan Diego today.
Oh, it's great.
He's the saint Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to him and used him
yep.
to be the catalyst to convert the Aztecs.
Millions.
And to reconcile the Spanish
yep.
into the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, eradicate the pagan Aztec diabolical religions,
right.
and enshrine the Lord Jesus Christ into Mexico and Our Lady of Guadalupe. And there's also physical evidence. That's the only apparition that has physical evidence of Our Lady being anywhere on earth.
Yep.
But there's a Guadalupe document. It's called Nican Motepana, which is basically an indigenous Indian document that we have today. And it talks about St. Juan Diego's prayer life. It says this, quote, Juan Diego would prostrate himself before the Lady from heaven mm-hmm. and invoke her fervently. Frequently, he would go to confession, receive communion, fast, do penance, and hide in the shadows in order to give himself up in prayer alone in the chapel. So this man, he's basically one of those little ones of Jesus Christ, just a small sheep. you know, when I think about Juan Diego, Terry,
yeah.
I just think about that verse in the Bible. It's in Matthew where it says, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and learned,
yep.
you have revealed them to the childlike. St. Juan Diego was one of the childlike messengers that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to, and he caused a revolution in Mexico that we're feeling the effects to this very day.
One thing I will add, 8 million people came into the Catholic Church as 8 million were leaving in Europe because of a Luther. Isn't that an interesting connection? Hey, when we come back, our good friend, yes, Paul Harvey, I was listening to him for so many decades. We're going to bring him back to a statement he made in 1965. See if it fits right now. I think it does. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and His church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism.
Amen.
We want you to hear a recording. Boy, Terry, this goes back to the 60s.
1965. Yep.
Paul Harvey. And he talks about the reality of the devil. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Love it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The... So I set about however necessary to take over the United States.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve.
Do
as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me. Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves. Until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I had mesmerizing media fanning the flame.
The President of the United States is racist.
If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline of emotions, just let those run wild. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. I would caution against extremes.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
In hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. and thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Wow. I didn't see that visual before, Jesse. That visual was wicked, man.
Yeah, there's different versions, recordings of Paul Harvey, but that one has some visual, and it just goes to show you what we're up against here. You know what it reminds me of? C.S. Lewis said about the devil in Screwtape Letters. He says that the most effective thing that the devil can do to bring souls to hell is to convince people that he does not even exist.
Exactly.
And a lot of people buy into it, Terry.
Hey, Jesse, think of this. I've said this to you over the years. You're a boxer. A lot of people don't know that. Just go to YouTube and put Jesse Romero down. You'll see some of his boxing offense. Jess, if you go into the ring thinking that your opponent is really weak, in other words, he's not even there, what happens to that other guy usually when he goes in with that attitude? Tell me.
You're going to get put on your back, and you're going to be counting the lights over the ring. Because why? Because you're not prepared.
Exactly.
And you don't have your hands up.
Yep.
For as Catholics, what I call putting your hands up is putting your hands up in prayer.
Amen.
In the Guadalupe position, that's what I call putting your hands up.
Amen. Well said. So Paul Harvey is, to me, was prophetic. In 1965, Jesse, things were a lot different, but they were getting bad. He saw it. And when we play this periodically here on Virgin Most Powerful, I always get people saying, did he really say that back in 1965? Yes. And you know, Jess, all I can say is it ties right into what we're talking about regarding truth. You know, what is truth? Like Pontius Pilate. And people say, it's my truth. Jesse has his truth. No, the truth is what sets us free. And when people start manipulating the idea that they are the arbiters of truth and they make it up, that's when you get chaos. And this is what we're experiencing right at this moment, Jess.
Yeah, the devil operates based on deception and lies. That's right in the Bible.
That's right.
Those are his tools of operation. Revelation chapter 12, John 8:44, he says he's a deceiver and he's a liar. The Bible also calls him an accuser. So he's always, you know, in your head trying to tell you that you're not worthy, God doesn't love you, you're a loser, et cetera, et cetera. And Paul Harvey, Terry, everything that he said about the devil back in the 60s, everything that he said about, you know, the devil will dupe entire states into relying on gambling.
Yeah.
The devil will make it legal to take the life of unborn baby.
Yeah.
The devil will make human life as cheap as much as to be valued like the lives of animals. Everything he said in that montage has already happened. Not is happened.
No, it's happened.
Already happened.
That's right.
He said that in the future we'll start putting depraved fantasies in films. That already happened. In the future, the devil will make divorce acceptable. That already happened.
Yep.
In the future, he would compel people to convince people that they're born homosexuals. Terry, everything this political prophet said has already happened. He was warning us, and people are probably laughing him back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Now people are looking back and then saying, whoa, God used this guy mightily, even though he was just a conservative commentator.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that God can't communicate truth to somebody like that, just like God communicated truth through a donkey in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers.
Well said. Jess, I just want to give a shout out again to the faithful patriots that are planning this Jericho march on our nation's capital to pray against the election fraud. December 12th, that's coming up Saturday. They're going to be going to Washington, D.C. This movement, Jesse, as you know, was named after the biblical story of the city of Jericho, which groups notes was a city of false gods and corruption. Sounds like Washington, D.C. to me.
Mm-hmm.
And around which Joshua was instructed to march around the city walls seven times. Jess, check this out, dude. You're one of the members of 700,000 people that have already engaged in these Jericho marches around the country. And they're all over the country. But here's what I love, Jesse. The effort will, you know, accumulate in the national capital and in D.C., Washington, D.C., on December 12th. Here's the name of the title of that particular event. Let the Church Roar. You like that, Jess? Let the Church Roar with the Truth of Jesus Christ. And I really appreciate that. Now, President Donald Trump's lawyers claim that there's been identified more than double the number of questionable ballots necessary to prove a legitimate winner in the 2020 election. Now, this is not fake news. Sometimes they don't even want us to say that, Jesse, but there's been a lot of abuses and they're right working it all out. I'm praying, Jess, that this prayer of the Christians will bring forth the truth to be really come out about this election, and that the Supreme Court will take this case on, because I think that's really the only way this can get resolved. It's not going to be resolved by you and I. It's got to go to someone a lot higher than our pay scale.
And I hope that they don't force, because I did read an article that they're saying that they're pushing Amy Coney Barrett to recuse herself because she was appointed by President Trump.
No, I hope they don't do that.
So I hope that that doesn't come to pass, because we need her vote, Terry.
We do.
Let me go back to what Paul Harvey said about the reality of the devil.
Yeah, that's important.
By the way, in case you're wondering, the devil controls the entire world. That's what the Bible says, 1 John 5:19. The Bible says he's the god of this world, lowercase g. The Bible says he's the prince of this world two times. The Bible says that his kingdom is on earth. Mm-hmm. The devil's the fallen angel. He basically commands legions of fallen angels. We now call them demons. The devil operates in three. He does three things that constantly. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve. Number one, temptation. Number two, hopefully cause you to fall into mortal sin and not confess your mortal sin, stay stuck on mortal sin. Number three, eternal death in hell. So the three weapons that the devil uses, and he hasn't changed his tactics. It's the same, so to speak. It's the same fighting tactics that he's been using since Adam and Eve. Temptation. Hopefully, when he gets you into temptation, he hopes, and the demons hope, that you fall into mortal sin and that you stay there. You don't confess. You don't repent. You don't have amendment of conscience. You don't change your life. You don't have a metanoia. And then you die and end up going to hell. That's it. That's a threefold strategy of Satan.
Yep.
And like Paul Harvey says, he's gained control of the most powerful nation in the world, and we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, Jesse, I want to remind everybody, for about 6 months, we've had some technical problems with some equipment. And last night, our engineer was here repairing the studio. It cost a few bucks to get some new equipment. I thank everybody who wants to help us cover the cost of that. They can just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. But now people can call in, Jess, and we can screen the calls. We can talk to them before they come on the air. And so the number that people can call is 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. I also want to mention, Jess, this is the end of the year. This is going to be our third year of Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And if you're thinking about making a one-time donation at the end of the year, because a lot of people do that for their nonprofits, I'd love to hear from you. I've been calling a lot of our people who have been very, very generous to us. You can call me on my cell phone, because I want to talk to you, 661-972-7872. Or if you don't want to talk to me, go online. But I want to personally thank you. You can go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and make a donation for the year end, and it's a tax-deductible donation. And I just want to thank all of our monthly donors. I do this a couple times a week, because monthly donors pay monthly bills, Jess, as you know. Mm-hmm. So they're the king of the what we can do. And we can offer people, if you give $25 a month or more, I give you hundreds of dollars of worth of recordings that I've been recording for 30 or 40 years through St. Joseph Communications and Lighthouse Catholic Media, that I send you a link every month to do your homework on. A lot of them are with Jesse Romero, Tim Staples, Father Bill Casey, Bishop Sheen, Dr. Michael Barber, all kinds of speakers that I've recorded over the years. What are we doing, Jesse? We're forming apostles, because, Jess, especially the younger guys we're talking, we want replacement forces coming in, because the church needs the young minds and the young people who have the energy to proclaim the teachings of Christ. Jesse is almost 60 years old. Last time I looked, bro. Terry, he's 64. He's just had a birthday. He's getting old. We need new blood. We need to teach the next generation apologetics, which we do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, evangelization. And that's why you're supporting us, because we want to see this work continue well beyond when Jesse and I are called home.
Absolutely.
Yep. So if you want to make a donation, call us at 877-526-2151 or call me on my cell phone after the show, 661-972-7872. Be a monthly donor and start getting great material in your pocketbook, because this is what's going to help you really deal with the culture that we're up against. You're not going to be, you're not going to do well if you don't pray well and you fast and you stay close to Jesus and the sacraments. Without that, you're going to lose. I'm being honest with you. That's why I'm pushing you to help us continue to spread the Catholic faith through Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to come right back and talk about the seven reasons why the Equality Act is anything than that.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I like to say we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I would be millionaires. Jess, we've got a couple people on hold. Let's go to Carol in Boston. Carol, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind?
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Thanks for so much for taking my call. Jesse, first I want to say I read your book. What was the title of it? It was about the devils in L.A.
Yes.
And, the devil in the city of angels.
Yes. And one night, I was late. I was reading it in bed. I had to stop reading it, and I said the rosary.
Good.
It scared the heck out of me.
Well, that's the point of the book. It's meant to get people, jolt people, and get them back to Jesus, back to a life of prayer. And everywhere around the country, everybody tells me the same reaction, just like you.
Yep.
It drove them back to prayer, drove them back to the sacraments.
The one with the devils in the corner of the room, I was like, okay, I can't do this right now. Anyway, the reason for my call is kind of along those lines, I guess. I have a friend that I see from time to time, and anytime religion comes up or the Catholic faith, you know, I talk about God and sin, and she said, "Well, my God," is her comment, doesn't do bad things to people, or not that he doesn't do bad things, but she doesn't believe there's a hell. Number one, and I said, "Well, what about the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible?" And she said, "Well, the Bible was written by men." And I'm like dumbfounded. I said, and I did say to her, first of all, there's no my God. There's God. So, I mean, what do you say to people like this?
I'll tell you what, it's difficult because it all comes to, here's a fancy word. It's called epistemology. What does that mean? Epistemology means, how do you know what you know? And see, her epistemology is different from yours. See, you and I, we go to the Holy Bible. That's our epistemology. We go to the magisterium of the church. That's our epistemology. We go to the sacred tradition of the church, the writings of the popes and saints and doctors. That's our epistemology. That's how we know what we know. But your friend, she's appealing to her own, her own personal experience, her own personal understanding. That's her epistemology, her faulty, malformed moral conscience. So again, it's difficult because she draws from her malformed conscience and you're drawing from the teachings of the Catholic Church. So you and her are like two ships talking past each other. So
it's
what
crazy.
You have to do is just continue praying for her conversion, living your life as a Catholic. And one of the prayers of conversion, Jesus said, is the divine mercy. He told St. Faustina, if you pray that prayer every day at 3 o'clock, he says, I will convert the most hardened sinners. Also, the Holy Rosary. Offer up your rosary, include her in the rosary in your conversion. There's a powerful, you could do a 9-day for her. You could do a 54-day conversion. She needs prayer. She needs grace because she's stuck on a malformed conscience. She's like this one politician said a long time ago. He goes, some people are stuck on stupid. She's stuck on her on what she believes is right. And again, the Bible says that, beware of those people that believe that they stand lest they fall. Terry?
I want to add one more thing, Carol. The supernatural aspect of prayer. Our Lady said, right, you know, souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. But Carol, one thing I would ask her, I would say if her name was Mary, Mary, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? Mary, how do you know something is true? Can you tell me where truth comes from? Is it your opinion, my opinion, or is there something outside of the both of us that reveals the truth to us about the meaning and purpose of life? That's what I would ask.
I like
now,
that.
If she answers the question that says, well, it's because what I feel, I say, well, you know, see, that's what, you maybe never heard this term, objective truth, meaning that it's mm-hmm. true outside of your opinion and my opinion. See, and so right. I would just get her to that point and pray for her, but I think that would make her question, well, wait a minute, it's not just your opinion or my, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, no. We go to a higher, what we call a supernatural aspect. I live according to what God's teachings are, not my opinion or your opinion. What has God revealed to us? I hope that helped, Carol.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
All right.
God also, one, Carol, one last thing as you're just listening to the show. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, mm-hmm. From verse 6 and following, St. Paul gives us a prescription of what to do to non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we're called to plant the seed, number yep. one. Number two, we're called to water what we plant. That means pray for them.
Amen.
And number three, it says, and God alone causes the growth.
That's it.
So there's a threefold criteria of the Bible of conversion of another person. You plant the seeds of the gospel, number one. Number two, you water those seeds. That means you pray for them.
Amen.
And number three, God does the rest.
Wow.
Okay,
right in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 6 and following.
Hey, Carol, I'm so glad we got our phone system working. We're so glad to have you chat with us about the most important
thing.
Well,
it's the first time, and I'm thrilled to talk to both of you.
Well,
thank
God,
you.
Thank you for your support, too, Carol. God love you. Hey, we've got Kurt in Massachusetts calling in. Kurt, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm blessed.
Jesse. Yeah. Of course, I've been reading your book, Telling the City of Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Infiltration, all the rest of them.
Yes.
But what I like to say, even to the previous caller who's from my state as well, when you talk about objective truth, just say this. The truth isn't something, it's somebody.
Amen, like Father Karapi.
And the truth became flesh. This is why God had to show humanity exactly what it is to do with the will of God.
Amen.
Because our first parents, throughout their own free will, rejected it by being God, by being tempted to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem that we have today. Like, I tell a lot of people what's going on with the presidential election and whatnot. I says, you know, and a lot of these people are falling away Catholics. So I basically said, do any of you know about Our Lady of Fatima? Oh, yeah, what are you talking about? You're a crazy guy, right? I says, well, the Blessed Mother said, if Russia isn't consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, she will spread her errors. What are the errors of Russia? I said, atheist or communism. And this is China, okay?
Yep.
And they go, you know, you're right. So the way I look at it is you got to hit people straight between the eyes. Like this one woman I was talking to, of course, my daughter is long haul. But anyway, I got her to a Latin Mass a couple of weeks ago, and I'll get her again. My grandson, you know, I get them back and forth to the Latin Mass only because, hey, I can't receive in the tongue. We're going to this church. In fact, I just went there last night, and they also say the Novus Ordo, and this is the first time they did Ad Orientem.
Wow, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way. Hey, hey, listen, Kurt, I want to say, I know we've talked to you before, and I know you're on fire for the faith. I just want to say thank you for calling. Now, we've got several more people. I want to try and be generous to everyone.
Right.
So I appreciate you calling.
Keep me in your prayers.
You got it, partner. I remember talking to you, Kurt. Yeah. You're a good man. I know you came back to the faith. You got a great story. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Stay the rosary every day in a divine mercy.
Exactly. Yeah. You're the man. You're the man. Amen. Thanks again, Kurt.
And I say it in Latin. Say it in Latin.
The devil hates that. Okay.
I do. Oh, yeah. All 5 decades. Yeah, all of it.
Salve good job.
Regina, Martha, Misericordia. Say it.
All right, brother. All right. Thanks again. God love you. Yeah, I remember Kurt is, God, that man's got more zeal out there in the New England, Boston area. And I wouldn't be surprised if he converts the whole city. Keep it up. Jesse, let's get to our topic because I know people do want to chat with us, but this is a topic you picked out. Tell us what exactly, seven reasons why Equality Act is anything but that.
This is why it's going to be, this is the danger of having a Biden-Harris administration, because this is precisely where the radical left is going, Terry. It's called the Equality Act, and they're just waiting to take the levers of power in this country, and this is the way they will start persecuting the church, because now if this passes, the Bible is going to be called a hate book. Our preaching of objective truth is going to be called hate literature.
Yeah.
And the Equality Act is anything but equality.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi's behind this, the House Speaker, I mean, Joe Biden. The Equality Act, Terry, is going to destroy, it's going to destroy faith and family and marriage.
Yeah.
Because there's a, it's a direct attack on the family. And this is exactly what people seem to forget, that Cardinal Caffara, who was commissioned by St. John Paul II to establish the Pontifical Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family. He was an Italian cardinal, rest in peace, one of the four Dubia cardinals.
Yep.
He received a letter from Sister Lucia, and in the letter it says this, quote, "The final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family." Now, the secular progressive left, they've already attacked marriage. Where? Roe versus Wade, Obergefell versus Hodges, the homosexual Supreme Court decision which opened the floodgate to sodomy in this country. Now, the second attack on marriage is going to be on the children, the family, by this Equality Act. And so here's what the article says. Most Americans don't want a nationwide bathroom requirement, healthcare mandate, or preferred pronoun law based on gender identity. But congressional Democrats seem to think it's time to impose them.
Oh, no.
So how might a sexual orientation and gender identity law on the federal level, as introduced in the House and Senate, affect you and your community? Well, here are seven ways. And again, if the Democrats take over the House and the Senate, this is going to come to a town near us. The first one it would do is it'll penalize Americans who don't affirm new sexual norms or gender ideology. Just remember Jack Phillips. His case went all the way to the Supreme Court. He's a Colorado citizen because he was accused of being a baker. He's a baker owner, and he was accused of discriminating based on sexual orientation because he didn't want to make a cake and celebrate a same-sex wedding by putting two men on top of the cake. He got sued. His case got sent all the way to the Supreme Court, and eventually the Supreme Court ruled in Phillips' favor. But again, Terry, this is going to, it's going to reboot if Biden and Harris get in, because, you know, Phillips, he lost a lot of his income just as a result of defending himself.
Of course.
Just like a lot of other people, florists, bakers, photographers, you know, videographers, because they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. They've been sued in court, and this is the first thing they're going to bring back again under a Harris-Biden organization.
When we come back, we'll hit number two regarding the seven reasons why Equality Act is anything but. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This is the weapon that the political left, the diabolical left, is going to use against the Catholic Church and Protestants and people of goodwill. It's called the Equality Act. This is what's in store for us under a Biden-Harris administration. Terry, there's 7 points.
Yeah, we're on number two right now.
What's the second one?
Yeah, it would compel speech. In other words, the Virginia high school teacher, Peter Fleming, he lost his job for something he did not say. A county school board voted unanimously to fire the veteran teacher over the objections of his students after he refused to comply with administrators ordering him to use the masculine pronouns in referring to a female student who identifies as a transgender. Are you kidding me? Fleming did his best to accommodate the student without violating his religious belief that God, like us, created human beings, male and female, end of story, using the student's new name and simply refraining from using pronouns altogether. Now, unfortunately, the school still considered this a violation of his anti-discrimination policy. Are you kidding me? Incidents like this, Jess, will increase under the federal policy proposed in the Equality Act Both federal and private employees could face costly lawsuits if they failed to comply strict preferred pronoun policies. Employees could be disciplined if they failed to comply regardless of their scientific or moral objections. Yeah. This is where we're going, Jess.
Yeah, that would be under a Biden administration if the Democrats yep. take over the House and the Senate. This is what will be is right around the corner.
Yep.
Number three, this law that the
got us Biden, down.
Yeah, yep. that they want to pass is called the Equality Act.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Here's the third reason why it's dangerous. It could shut down charities. Think about foster care and adoption agencies or drug rehab centers and yep. homeless centers.
Mm-hmm.
They're already facing challenges under state and local policies on sexual orientation and gender identity. But in Philadelphia, just days after the city put out an urgent call for 300 additional families to foster children, the city halted child placements by Catholic social services because of the organization's belief that every child deserves both a mother and a father. And although the same-sex couples have the opportunity to foster children through the state or other agency in Philadelphia, the city canceled its contract with Catholic Social Services, and the agency's approved foster homes remain available while children languish on this waiting list.
Ugh.
And so a federal sexual orientation and gender identity law, which would be pushed under a Biden administration in Harris, would make this situation that we see in Philadelphia a national phenomenon, which would spell disaster for almost 500,000 children in foster care nationwide.
Ugh.
Other charities will be affected as well. Over in Anchorage, Alaska, a biological male born Timothy Paul Coyle goes by the name of Samantha Coyle. And on two occasions, Coyle tried to gain access to the city's downtown Soup Kitchen Hope Center, which is a shelter for homeless, abused, and trafficked women. And so in one attempt, authorities said that Coyle was inebriated and got into a fight with a staffer at another shelter. So Hope Center staff paid Coyle's fare to the emergency room to receive medical attention. Coyle sued the center for gender identity discrimination. And so a federal sexual orientation and gender identity law could force any social service organization to open up private facilities, including single-sex bathrooms, showers, and sleeping areas to members of the opposite sex. Terry, this is where we're going. This is Paul Harvey all over again.
It is.
This is the mass confusion that's upon the diabolical disorientation, a term used by Sister Lucia. Terry, go ahead.
Can you imagine? We're going to go to number four, but can you imagine, Jesse, someone who had been in a coma for 40 years and wakes up to this? They go, what? It can't be. Well, it is. Number four, it would allow more biological males to defeat girls in sports. So ridiculous, Jesse. Two biological males who identify and compete as women easily defeat all their female competitors in an event of the Connecticut State Track Championships. See, this is wrong. Transgender athletes Terry Miller broke the state's record in the girls' 100-meter dash. Andrea Yearwood, also transgender, took second place. What do you think, Jesse? Come on. I mean, it doesn't take common sense to know this is ridiculous. Now, Selena Soule, a female runner, not only lost to her biological males in the championship, but also lost out on a valuable opportunity to be seen by college coaches and chosen for scholarships. Soule said about the 100-meter event, "We all know the outcome of the race before it even started. It's demoralizing. Now, a federal sexual orientation and gender identity law would defeat the purpose of the Title X of the Civil Rights Act, which it supposed to guarantee women equal educational and athletic opportunities." Yes, under this radical gender identity policies, here comes female athletes have sustained gruesome injuries at the hands of male competitors. In high school wrestling, female athletes have forfeited rather than to compete against transgender athletes on testosterone. Oh, my. A federal law could set girls and women's sports back permanently at every level. This is serious matter. And you know what, Jess? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out what we're doing is totally wrong, okay? There's a right way to doing things and a wrong way. You don't put a woman in competition in sports with a man. That's just don't do that. Go ahead.
This is a violation of the Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. This is a misuse of it.
Of course it is.
This is a false implementation of Title IX of the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
And women are getting hurt.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And I say to myself, where's the feminist women's groups like the National Organization for Women?
Quiet.
Or where's the Me Too movement?
Silent.
Or even where's the ACLU or the California Poverty Law Center? Or where are the women on The View? Yeah. They're nowhere to be seen or heard. And this is the ultimate form of discrimination against women.
That's right.
Point number five, this law that the Equality Act, if Biden gets into office and Harris, trust me, this is exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's not if, it's going to happen.
When? If they get it, yeah.
It could be used to coerce medical professionals. Under state sexual orientation and gender identity laws, persons who identify as transgender have sued Catholic hospitals in California and New Jersey for declining to perform hysterectomies on otherwise healthy women who wanted to pursue gender transition. And so if these lawsuits succeed, medical professionals would be pressured to treat patients according to the ideology rather than their best medical judgment. And let's not forget that the Obama administration tried to coerce medical professionals into offering transition-affirming therapies through a regulation in the Affordable Care Act, popularly known as Obamacare.
Yep.
And that move, thanks be to God, it was stopped in the 11th hour by a federal judge. However, that could all be set back in motion if a national law imposes a nationwide health care mandate regarding gender identity.
I just want to remind everybody, at the beginning of the show, we quoted Fulton Sheen when he said, freedom does not mean that right to do whatever we please, like this, in this case, but rather what we ought to do. The right to do whatever we please reduces freedom to a physical power and forgets that freedom is a moral power. What we're missing here, Jesse, is any clarity regarding morality. Go ahead and hit number six, Jess. We got a couple, 3 minutes left.
Yes, number six, it could lead to more parents losing custody of their children because the politicization of medicine, according to gender ideology, will create more conflicts amongst parents, doctors, and the government. A federal sexual orientation and gender identity law could jeopardize parental rights nationwide. In fact, the current issue of the American Journal of Bioethics includes an article arguing that the state should overrule the parents of transgender children who do not give consent to them, to give them puberty-blocking drugs. And the final one, point number seven, it could also enable sexual assault. A complaint under investigation by the federal education officials alleges that a boy who identifies as a gender fluid at Oakhurst Elementary School in Decatur, Georgia, sexually assaulted Pascha Thomas' five-year-old daughter in a girls' restroom. The boy had access to the girls' restroom because of Decatur City School's transgender restroom policies.
Horrible.
And so the school authorities refused to change the policy even after Thomas reported the assault. So eventually she decided to remove her daughter from the school for the girl's emotional well-being and physical safety. And a federal sexual orientation and gender identity law would give male sexual predators who self-identify as females access to private facilities, increasing the likelihood of these tragic incidents. The bottom line is the Equality Act, which will be law under executive order by a Biden-Harris administration, this defies the purpose of any anti-discrimination laws because the Equality Act will be used. It's going to be weaponized, Terry. It's going to be used as a sword to attack people of faith and force them to adopt new ideologies about human sexuality. And so this extreme and dangerous piece of legislation, which hangs in the balance on the Biden administration, it would create unprecedented harm to businesses, charities, medical professionals, women and children, and entire families. And I'm telling you, the writing's on the wall.
It is.
The Equality Act is anything but equal.
Jesse, I'm glad you brought this up. And I just want to remind everybody in the last minute or two that we need to get our own spiritual life in order to fight things like this because we need grace from God to stand up and say what needs to be said. We can't do that without being in the state of grace. And that's just my humble opinion, Jess. We can't fight evil if we're obviously in mortal sin. So what do we do? We live according to what Jesus Christ taught and his church has taught about living in the state of grace, getting to confession, getting our rosary out, praying our rosary, reading the Bible every day, visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, having a spiritual life, because you can't fight this battle without having an intense spiritual life, because it just won't work. This is an evil that we're up against, and we need to be asking God for the graces to do the right thing and stand up for God's laws, not man's, because we serve Jesus Christ,
right,
not man. Jesse, five things. What? Give them right now. What five things that people need to do to be able to fight evil?
Pray your rosary every day from your heart. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day, specifically the daily Mass readings. Practice penance and fasting on Fridays, at least, if not Wednesdays and Fridays. Old school, pre-Vatican II. And lastly, stay in a state of grace. Don't stay in a state of mortal sin. If you're in mortal sin, go to confession as soon as possible. And if you want to stay in a state of grace, monthly confession is a great tune-up for the soul.
And this is a great time, this time of Advent, when we're preparing to meet Jesus Christ in this nativity scene of Christmas. How better way to be getting close to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and through the Sacrament of Penance. I want to thank everybody who's been supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We thank you. We pray for you every day here at our Sacred Heart Chapel. And may God richly bless you and full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful.